Good evening. My name is John Sugai, and I'd like to welcome you to tonight's conference call. Tonight's topic is about all the talk about regarding scientific proof that companies use to make product claims. There's a lot of hype, which is based on a lot of misunderstandings and can cause a lot of misunderstandings about products, their ingredients, and so forth, and all the medical claims that are made about these products and companies. Tonight, Don Castor will talk about how do we cut through the hype, talk about some of the misunderstandings, and also talk about how do we know that Sunrider products are safe and effective, and give us some pointers on product positioning and how to communicate clearly and ethically about, you know, who we are, what we have to offer, and why, you know, our products are the highest quality in the industry. Without further ado, I'd like to hand the call off to Don Castor.
John, thank you very much for the introduction, and I would like to thank everybody for being on the call this evening. Rather than get into extremely specific information about select items in our line, which we will talk about, I think it's important that we address something that has been skirted for the last 6-8 months, and that has to do regarding efficacy, value of the products, and safety of the products. And that whole conversation began probably less than a year ago when some of the concern over pet foods, because of the ingredients coming from China, entered into the marketplace. So let me first talk a little bit about this notion of testing. In the United States, and I know some of you are listening in from the Philippines and New Zealand and Australia, and a couple on through interpretation in Japan, so I'm hoping you can keep up with me. But there's always this question is, are the products safe? And because there's not a regulatory commission in North America where our products are made, might there be a chance the product is unsafe? Well, there are companies out there that are talking about the use of good manufacturing practices, true label programs, or NSF testing. There are a number of companies out there, there's about 11 in all, that will do testing of products and claim that they do the best job of testing. Let me just try to clarify what that does, because this can be a bit of a smokescreen. In general, those tests will verify what is stated on the label is in the package. When you're selling, for example, a vitamin C or a vitamin E or a multiple vitamin and mineral, something that takes various isolates, mixes them together, where on the label you're making a claim that there are 22 milligrams of this, 37 milligrams of this, 19 milligrams of that, the labeling becomes effective because unless there is a watchdog for it, our government really doesn't regulate in the United States the specifics of that labeling. It's really covered under FTC as well as FDA regulations. So when a company says their product has been tested by a certain laboratory and the ingredients are certified, in other words, what's on the label is in it, that's very commendable, respectable, and things that I think companies will continue to do in great efforts, particularly when they don't do their own manufacturing, because they're basically already paying to have that done to determine the content, because the liabilities could be severe if somebody found out otherwise. But what happens is they have a tendency to make a claim about their products, and I don't care how the product is sold, whether it's internet, television, multi-level health food store, drugstore, they have a tendency to use that test to verify that the claim they make about the product is valid. So if someone says we use a certain company to test our products, and that proves its value because we told you the value is improved eyesight, longevity, better heart, lower cholesterol, whatever it might be, that's a leap of faith. They're indirectly citing a research that says a particular isolated nutrient or ingredient is in fact capable of doing something, and our product, we guarantee it, is in that bottle, so therefore it will do that. That's why I refer to the leap of faith. Now, when you're talking about safety from contaminants, it's a whole different issue. And most of those laboratories do not necessarily test for safety. They test for what is said to be in the bottle. Major difference. For example, we've run into some issues in the U.S. in the past probably 3 months, fairly dramatic, or 6 months, where we've had problems with bacteria in foods, pistachios being the latest one, peanut butter prior to that. A lot of people concerned about our food supply and how food itself is tested and controlled. That's a critical issue. The government does regulate that and does have a set of standards, but we're learning that a lot of the companies have to follow their own principles and values to achieve that. Well, Sunrider's products, as many of us know, fall within that food category rather than the isolate category. And this is one case where I truly like to use those terms. A lot of you are aware that I'm not a fan of that terminology because it becomes very confusing. If you want to refer to it as micronutrients and macronutrients being proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, that's what food is. Micronutrients are vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. There's somewhere under 100 micronutrients in terms of vitamins and minerals and something like 20,000 that are antioxidants. So labels will always list that 20 to 100 micronutrients that are vitamins and minerals, and that's what they test for. And then the assumption is, and it's usually correct, that there is no health concern due to bacteria. Well, now that we have a concern over our food supply, the question is whether companies follow good manufacturing practices, which means, is the product been properly cleaned, is bacteria taken care of? Well, everything that Sunrider does in their state-of-the-art manufacturing in California follows good manufacturing practices, meaning that there's constant laboratory tests done, issues such as bacteria, airborne pollutants, or particles are taken care of. And if you've been to the City of Industry, you've seen that. That is not the case with so many companies that manufacture, and is not even close to the case in most food that you consume in this country. So let's make the distinction on this to understand how our products are made, and that Sunrider does follow the good manufacturing practices as instituted by the U.S., and it's one of the reasons why we make that statement for people, particularly overseas people, to know the product comes from the U.S. Another very small and might consider to be insignificant fact to you is that we export our product to a number of countries with extremely high and disciplined importation standards, Japan is being one of them. When you import something into Japan, it absolutely must meet the standard that their government stands for and must meet what's on the label. So if you have a particular ingredient in any product, whatever it is, I don't care if it's a soup mix, I don't care if it's a nutritional product like Sunrider sells, a tea, whatever it might be, when you make a statement on that label, they will test it. And if there's anything in that product that is not on that label, it is not accepted, which means residues, particulates, contaminants, whatever it might be. Or if you're trying to put something in the product that doesn't exist. The products, and very, very true of Australia as well, they don't want anything going into their country that might have something that could pollute or mess up their food supply there. So the sheer fact that there's two countries out of 40, and there's others that are strict, have extremely high manufacturing importation requirements, and Sunrider imports freely into those countries and meets their standards, is probably a greater testimony to what we do than almost anything else we can say. Now, I don't expect everybody to totally grasp that, and we make passing comments about the integrity and quality of our manufacturing. But it's important for you to understand that when somebody else makes reference to how their product is tested and how it's independently tested and therefore it's what's in the label, it's not a matter of questioning that they're correct, but it should not dispel any negative upon us because we don't have those same tests done. In most cases, things like the True Label and the NSF program are inappropriate for probably 98% of our products because we don't use the isolates, and we don't make claims about the amount of vitamin A, C, or D in our products. They're not on any of the labels because that's not what we're selling. So that's the first step. The second is that safety is never an issue in our products because of the extensive testing we put our products through, the numbers, the labeling, everything we do. Safety is not an issue and has never been an issue the way Sunrider manufactures for the 26-plus years we've been in business. And what we have, which I think is our strongest suit, is our history of safety and effectiveness. It's easy to talk about a young new company that has a good product and say that they have achieved certain things with it and therefore it's this or this. Sunrider has the history to prove that. And because we've manufactured from day one, we not only take accountability for it, but that's one of the principles by which our product is established. Today, I think more than ever before, that's becoming a critical issue. When we see the type of products that companies are making, we see the kind of products being imported into the U.S. There are some companies, for example, that are bringing capsulized products into the U.S. made in China and bottled here. That is certainly not manufactured in the U.S. It's not produced in the U.S. There's some that will buy raw materials from these countries. Well, there may or may not be anything wrong with the raw materials. We have no way of knowing that unless you test. And we test both at the beginning and the end of all of our processes, which we've talked about so many times. But what I think it's important to talk about is some of the smoke and mirrors that other companies talk about in terms of trying to prove to you or to a consumer how their product is superior. And what they're really saying is, we have a unique product that no one else has, and the reason you want to use it, and it's when they go into the reason you want to use it that I really caution you, because what they're doing is they're trying to claim the advantages of their product because of antioxidant content. Now, I've listened to so many of these lectures, I've read so many of the books, the materials, the literature, and there's nothing wrong with what they say from page 3 to page 120. It's the first 3 pages and the last 4 pages that I dispute. Because whether or not a certain plant or berry has an antioxidant quality is not a question. It's whether their product contains that amount that's being described. The test can show that the particular product is in there, but it doesn't mean that it's effective. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of word out there today and a lot of conversation today about ORAC studies, O-R-A-C studies, that are used to determine antioxidant levels. And once a week I get somebody to ask what the ORAC value of our products are. But let's take this and understand that it really means, or it stands for, oxygen radical absorbance capacity. And it's a method of measuring antioxidant capabilities and capacities of different foods. And excuse me, what I just said is the real difference. It's the capacities of foods, not the capability of the food. And I guess that little slip of tongue in mine is what I was trying to get to. It is not anything more than the capacity. It has nothing to do with the capability. Now, it was developed by scientists at the National Institute of Aging in the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. Very respectable group. But this method is not approved by the NIH itself. Now, recently, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has listed a database of the ORAC value on its homepage, USDA.gov, but without evaluation. In other words, they're just reporting what they know. Wide varieties of foods have been tested for this methodology, and understand that it's the foods that have been tested, certain berries, beans, spices, and they found them to be oftentimes very high in the ORAC value. The correlation between the high antioxidant capacity of the fruits and vegetables and how it has an impact on the body may, in fact, play a key role in aging. But what they're saying is what we've already known. Fruits and vegetables high in, for example, polyphenols like grapes are very effective antioxidants. We know that. It's when somebody takes a basic information like that and tries to translate it into a branded product that they're trying to sell that we need to be somewhat suspect. For example, one of the highest ORAC value foods ever found is cinnamon. 100 grams of cinnamon has hundreds of thousands of more capabilities than most berries are aware of. You're not going to consume 100 grams of cinnamon, but it shows that the product does exist. And it's when you're comparing ORAC data that it becomes very important to ensure that the units of the foods being compared are very similar. And that's the problem. If I compare one plum with 100 grams of cinnamon, I can think, well, I can eat a plum, which is about 4,800 on the ORAC level, versus cinnamon, which at 100 grams is 267,000. Well, you're not going to consume 100 grams of cinnamon, and misrepresentation can become critical. So we have to compare their weights and their information. But you have to look at the weight also versus the unit servings. Under each evaluation, it can vary. And here's a classic example. A raisin has no more antioxidant potential than a grape. And a lot of times people think when something's dried, it doesn't. But the raisin and the grape have identical antioxidant and ORAC value. The difference is the raisin is dried from a grape. Now, raisin will appear to have a much higher ORAC value per gram per weight than does the grape. Why? Because the grape has water in it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that eating one grape and one raisin is much different. And that's why we have to be careful how people interpret information. Now, there's been a number of companies out there that have capitalized on this ORAC rating, and they've sold a number of different products talking about their ORAC rating of the product and how valuable it is. And this is where the concern has to be. For example, I saw some information the other day on olive leaf. And olive leaf is a very, very interesting product. Some of the highest quality comes out of Australia. And they were showing the high ORAC value of it. But they're showing the value of the ORAC value of the olive leaf through testing. The company selling the product is not claiming that their product, by weight, has that ORAC value. And I have never seen a company yet who claims that their product has the ORAC value. They claim their ingredient has the ORAC value. So, yes, ORAC values are critical. For example, green tea and black tea, very high in ORAC value. But to say how it translates to consumption is something that has to be compared by weight of finished and beginning goods. And this is what we as consumers don't do, nor should we do. And we have to always be careful when you take something as complicated as historic research and then take it and give it to a marketing person who begins to market their products based upon it. And that's the essence of what I wanted you to understand this evening. Because when we look at polyphenol-rich foods, which, again, go back to foods with deep, rich colors, berries, for example, they are high in antioxidants. Beets, very high in antioxidants. Dark green vegetables, very high in antioxidants, all have good oric value. We can make that statement. And when you get a hold of marketing people, they begin to talk about the benefits of it, and they start talking about superfoods. Well, we know that antioxidant is really defined, and actually the Institute of Medicine, the National Academy of Sciences, defined it. It's a substance in foods that significantly decreases the adverse effects of reactive species, such as reactive oxygen and nitrogen species, on normal physiological functions in the body. In other words, it slows down aging. Well, when you have something that's going to slow that down and help your body's processes, you're going to say, wow, that's a superfood. So now there's this whole new category of products called superfoods because they have a good, they are a good source of antioxidants. The key to this is they're potential sources. It's very difficult to go from the plum to the plum juice to the bottled plum juice dried in a capsule, and say it's identical. Because we do not always know the effects of the transition. However, when you take a leaf, for example, Camellia sinensis, and you soak it properly, and you extract from it its nutrients to transfer into the water, then you drink that water, commonly referred to as black or green tea, you are then consuming a high oric level product because you have done nothing to it. The heat actually helps in the extraction process. So some things have oric value of benefit, some are very, very careful. And one of the things that a recent article in that was published just about 3 months ago from the Agricultural and Food Chemistry Journal back in late 2008 said you have to be very, very careful that laboratories have also demonstrated that temperature variation in the machines themselves that do this can affect the actual oric level. In other words, there was such a wide range of differences when the equipment itself was not properly set up that they could not develop enough consistency. There are four other methods available for determining the antioxidant levels, TEAC, FRAP, FRAP, and DPPH. All are different assays, but because they're a bit more specific and have a tendency to dispel some of the myths that come about from the ORC, it's only when you look at all four together can you really see the benefits. Now, one of the things that the Institute of Food Technology has found out, polyphenol-rich foods are always very, very positive. Oranges, for example, grapes, apples, sea buckthorn, Chinese wolfberry, all of these have been proven to be very, very high foods and antioxidants, polyphenols, and therefore would be classified as superfoods. Companies that are out there making stories about their product, and I repeat this, have taken scientific information and marketed it. They draw the conclusion that because this particular berry, this particular fruit, this particular grain can be tested through an ORC process and shown to have antioxidants, and we know antioxidants do this, therefore our product does this. That is about as far from scientific information as you can get. That is pure marketing. So people then are going to ask, why doesn't Sunrider market their products more effectively? Why don't they engage in some of these exact same techniques? Well, we don't have time this evening to go into all the principles and values of what Sunrider does. Sunrider was based in 1982 when it began distributing products in 83 around a very simple philosophy of regeneration. And that philosophy says that if you nourish and cleanse the body properly, it'll balance itself. Well, how do you cleanse? Well, we go back to simple principles and philosophies that you need to do five colors. And when you look at the colors that are referred to, you realize that you're talking about deep, rich colors. So the idea of having foods with color has been a principle of Sunrider's philosophy from the beginning. When you look at the majority of all of our products, they all have five colors. We have a product called New Plus, and New Plus has five beans. The five beans have five colors. The colors are where the nutrients come from. We use foods that are very nutrient-rich and nutrient-dense. The method of concentration we do has been proven by our own research, because we have to test this for its validity before we're going to sell it. That's just the principle of which our company does. The methods we use effectively maintain the antioxidant and nutrient levels. Now, the best proof I have to you is that a product called Kelly has been on the market since 1982, and we've been selling over 1 million bags a week, every week, for so long that it's become not even our number one seller anymore. It's become the number one seller in the world. Why? Because it is effective. Not everybody consumes Sunrider products because they're involved in the business. 90% of the people that consume Sunrider products are consumers. It's actually 91%. So if that's a particular case and they're on the retail side of the business, the product has to be effective. There's nothing more true than what happens when people buy a product. Now, we know that Coca-Cola is the number one beverage in the world. You just passed up tea not too long ago around the world. And why is it number one? Because people enjoy the taste, and it's marketed in such a way. It has nothing to do with health benefits. The benefits of Sunrider's Kelly far exceed that, and is running a very, very close top five finish. We know that because it's foods with colors, they have antioxidant values. We know that fruits and vegetables in general, plants are what make a difference. Therefore, all the products that Sunrider does are all plant-based. We look at the research that the ancient Chinese did, we balance it with new and recent discoveries, and we create the foods that Sunrider has. And what Sunrider has done, besides just say we're selling something that, you know, was discovered 200 years ago or 2,000 or 20,000 years ago, we take the essence of that research, which is the philosophy of regeneration, the use of colors, and we develop it and put it against the test that comes out of modern science, things like the Oryx study. We use studies like, for example, gas chromatography studies in all of our work. We use gas chromatography to make sure that what products we're using and plants we're using are correct, and we make sure that the end result has the nutrients we're looking for. The fact that people consume the products for what they've done in terms of longevity is the reason we continue to grow. The values and principles are, again, what separate us. And that comes from this philosophy of regeneration. Now today, you know, is probably as much as any time I've been involved with Sunrider, money is scarce and people are very careful of how they're using their money. So there's two issues that come to light. Number one, if somebody over here is making a comment, you need to listen very carefully to what they're saying. And when they're making a claim that is based upon the principle of antioxidant, rather than ensuring that the product is what they say it is. And again, because the product has been tested by an independent lab does not mean that the antioxidant level is present, because it isn't necessarily the product that's been tested. They're very careful to cover that. It's the ingredient that's been tested. And it's been done through studies, through scientists. It has nothing to do with the company. That's why they call them independent studies. Because the way in which our product is manufactured, the amount of raw material that goes into making our products, we don't take a berry, for example, the acai berry, for example, which is extremely bitter. If you've ever seen the acai berry itself, it's about 80% nut. In other words, the nut in the middle of it takes up the majority of the weight. The amount of fruit, if you will, on the outside is very dry, and therefore it's very difficult to get much juice out of it. So you go through a lot of berries to create it, but it's so bitter you can hardly drink it. Therefore, the basis of a lot of the drinks is either flavorings or other juices to carry it. In Sunrider, we pre-blend all of our products through our concentration method. We use water to extract and then remove the water to get the concentrated base. An extremely expensive and time-consuming process. So whether you're getting the antioxidant value you know from a certain product versus Sunrider, you can't compare it on price. Vitafruit, for example, very high in antioxidants. A product that you can take and mix. We don't hide what's in it. We give the ingredients. We tell you it's honey. The reason it's honey is it acts as a preservative. It's one of the great superfoods. It's one of the great beverages in the beverage market today. Now, the compelling argument that is very difficult for me to make is, why would our products appear to be expensive when things are tough? Well, that goes back, I think, to the consumer not appreciating value. Whether you spend 25 cents for a glass of juice or $5 for a glass of juice, it can be dictated by the amount of money you have. I don't question that. I don't apologize for our product and our price, nor should I say that you don't have the money to spend. The key issue is, if you spend 25 cents on the juice and receive nothing but water, no nutrients, you've wasted 25 cents. If you have the $5 to spend and it's loaded with antioxidants, then the purpose for drinking it has been achieved. But if we want to compare our product to things like coffee and Coca-Cola or any soft drink where you're paying, you know, $1.50 in a restaurant for either of the products and look at what Kelly or Fortune cost, then you realize that we're value-based. And that's what we have to drive our information with. I mentioned earlier green and black tea. I mentioned Camellia sinensis. We use more of that than anybody else. Understand, when you look at a product like stevia, which is getting a lot of press today because companies are beginning to use it, it was Dr. Teifu Chen who brought stevia to the United States of America back in 1982. It was Dr. Chen that spent over $1.5 million to have stevia approved by the federal government of the United States in 1994 as a dietary supplement. And it was Dr. Chen that kept the plant itself alive in the eyes of all the researchers until it became extremely popular. All other stevia-based products on the market today use an inexpensive alcohol extract process, and the vast majority of all of that comes out of China and the Far East. Ours comes out of Paraguay, which is the finest of all the stevia in the world, and we use a water process, something that's exclusive to Sunrider that Dr. Chen has spent millions developing. We have the highest stevia side level of all of the stevia products on the market, and our price is right in line with what everybody else is doing item for item, stevia side for stevia side, because most of them have none. Now, I don't have time to go into all of the other products this evening, but understand the basis of what we do is based on more scientific evidence about the Sunrider branded products than about the ingredients in our products. All of the other people out there that are selling and marketing their brands are talking about the ingredients and the results of the ingredients through scientific studies. We know through personal experience that because of the blend of ingredients that we've created a safe product, the result of those ingredients is a Sunrider product which we have continued to consume because we enjoy and we receive personal benefit from it. The antioxidant levels are extremely high, but because there's no research on any of the individual ingredients that we use or in combination, the ones that are individual Dr. Chen won't use because that's false information. It has to come from ours. We know the antioxidant levels are there, or Dr. Chen wouldn't produce it because it would be useless. Now, this wasn't meant to be a convincing argument for you. It was meant this evening just to give you some confidence that what goes on in these products is superior to all the hype that's on the marketplace today. U.S. government is coming down heavy on some of these companies because they're making ridiculous comments about their product that they can't verify. We verify everything we can say. I am totally out of time. I'm sorry it took so much. John, I appreciate the introduction, and I'd like you to finish the call for me.
Thank you, Don. That was very informative, as always. So just remember that, you know, we have made the investments in our manufacturing. We have the owner expertise. We do our own research. We do our own testing. And so if you want to, you need to inform people, you know, refer to the philosophy of regeneration. Refer to the company profile, which gives you a very detailed look at our manufacturing. And make sure if you're doing this and you go to the convention, make sure you attend the manufacturing tour. You'll get to check out the Los Angeles manufacturing plant. It is pretty much, most of it will be in production now. Last year they were still putting more equipment in and it wasn't quite up and running. But you can see personally that I have walked through the plant where my products come from. I have seen the machinery. I've been through it. Our company is open about it. That makes all the difference. And as somebody who's been consuming products for over 25 years and doing business with this company, that passion that you can use is your best tool to inform people to consume our products and to do business with us.